Morning, and welcome everyone here, especially those that are visiting with us. We're glad you've come our way, and we hope that you'll, if future opportunities arise, that you'll come and be with us again. Want to remind everybody, first of all, of our summer series that begins this Wednesday evening. So looking forward to that. 8 good speakers from the area talking about topics dealing with why we believe. This week will be Jack Williams, Why We Believe in the 6 Days of Creation. I also want to remind everyone that next Sunday evening I'm planning, hopefully, to answer some questions from the box that's out there on the bulletin, on the table there under the bulletin board. If you've got any biblical questions, anything that you would like to see addressed, if you would put a little note in there so that I can figure out what I'm going to preach next Sunday night. So, kind of crowdsourcing here for ideas, I guess. This morning, I want to talk about the topic of modesty. I know it's not the most popular topic to speak on, but it is a valid topic. It is a biblical topic. You know, what the Bible has to say about it is it's applied universally. It applies to men and women. Oftentimes, I think women feel picked on when these sermons are preached because oftentimes it seems to be put the onus on them, and we need to realize that it applies universally to men and women. It applies universally across all cultures. The Bible applies to all cultures, whether or not that culture accepts the Bible or not. These guidelines, or these laws, they are not situational. There's not some situation where it's okay to be immodest and another situation where it is okay to be immodest. It requires right thinking. It requires the right mindsets. And so when we look in Revelation chapter 3, the verse there, verse 18, there to the church at Laodicea, of course, they thought they were rich and were in need of nothing. He said, but don't you know that you're destitute, that you're sick, that you're naked? He says in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And so here he says, the shame of thy nakedness, that it not appear. You know, the shame of thy nakedness is in a negative light here. It is not exposed. You know, here it's a figurative language talking to the church again at Laodicea about the spiritual condition, but it is drawn from the normal understanding of the body and clothing and nakedness, which everyone could understand. You know, there is a certain shame to it. You know, I guess we could do a show of hands who's had this particular dream or one like it, but we won't do that. But most of us have probably had some version of this dream where we're going about our daily activity and going about just like everything's normal, and suddenly we look down and we realize we're stark naked. I think psychiatrists say that about 90% of people have this dream at some point. And always in that dream, I've had it a time or two, and always there is shame involved in that. You're embarrassed. You run and hide in the dream, and you hope that nobody sees you. And so that is because there is this understanding. We know deep down inside that it is wrong to be naked in public. You know, the symbolism here given in this passage, again, though it's used in symbolic language, it doesn't negate the basic truth which underlies it. You know, we live in a time when people don't desire to cover their bodies. In fact, I read about that dream, and psychologists today are now saying, well, when you dream that dream, it's because your inner self is telling you it's okay to be naked in public. And that's absolutely not the case. That's not what the Bible teaches. And so we've got to learn what the Bible teaches. We want to do what the Bible teaches. We want to follow the Bible. We want to live by the Word of God. And so let us notice some things that the Bible says about modesty and about clothing. You know, the Bible teaches that we were all naked at one time. In Job 1 and verse 21, it says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. We understand that babies, they don't come out fully dressed. In fact, they have no clothing whatsoever. In Genesis 2 and verse 25, the first man and woman, when they were created, it says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. And so just like the baby is not ashamed, the man and wife, Adam and Eve, they were not ashamed of their nakedness. But the Bible also teaches that clothing is required after the sin of Adam and Eve. Again, they were naked and without shame in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 25. But we know that in Genesis chapter 3, they ate of that tree. They ate of the fruit of that tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, and they became aware of their nakedness. In verse 7 it says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves aprons. And so they recognized at that point that they were naked. When sin came, nakedness meant something different. They were ashamed of their nakedness. So they made themselves aprons of fig leaves. No one else was on earth at the time, and they were husband and wife, and yet they felt the need to cover at least part of their bodies. Now, when we read in Genesis 3:21 that God made them coats of skin and clothed them, the fig leaves, the aprons, were not enough. We'll get more into that in a few minutes. But ever since the Garden of Eden, God has required mankind to wear clothing. And the exhibition of one's body or nakedness, except in the intimacy of marriage, is associated with sin and shame. Man has a natural sense of shame about his nakedness and clothes himself. That's why, you know, we often have that dream or one like it where we are naked in public. Because we understand it is shameful. You know, we need to understand also there is a difference between nudity and nakedness. You know, you can be naked and still have on some clothing. You know, we define the word nude as being undressed, not having any clothing whatsoever. You know, naked as a jaybird, you might say. But you can have on some clothing and still be considered naked. Again, notice the example of the Garden of Eden. They sewed for themselves fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You know, when God came to talk to them, as he always did, in verse 9 it says, and God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Notice Adam's reply in verse 10. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Notice here, he still, though he's wearing the fig leaf apron, he still says that I'm naked. And so God then, in verse 21, notice what God does. It says, and Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And so this illustrates again that we don't have to be completely nude. They weren't completely nude. They were wearing the aprons, the loincloths made of fig leaves. But we don't have to be completely nude in order to be considered naked or to have our nakedness showing. And so how much of our nakedness should be covered in public? You know, again, Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 and verse 18. Notice when I get there. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Again, the shame of thy nakedness refers to certain parts of our body that are to be covered in public places. You know, that thy nakedness do not appear. Appear means to be seen in public. The word literally means to arise, to emerge. That's the opposite of disappear. So we are to cover the shame of our nakedness. Now, as was noted before, the apron was not enough for Adam and Eve. Adam had covered the bare essentials and still needed to be properly clothed. You know, these aprons, this comes from the Hebrew word that means hip clothing or loincloth. So Adam said he was still naked. He's wearing the loincloth. He still says, I'm naked. I was naked. I hid myself. God agreed. He says, who told thee that thou wast naked? And so God agreed that you are naked. That is right. You are naked. Who told you that you were naked? And so the apron that he made of fig leaves did not cover the shame of his nakedness. And so you think about here he was, his loins were covered, he had no shirt, he had, nothing else on. He was considered naked by the Lord. A lot of men seem to have no problem going about shirtless in public, and yet here God says that you're naked. Adam says, I'm naked. God says you were naked when he was not wearing a shirt. And so it's not even counting, of course, Eve. And so God gave them clothing. He says he made coats of skins. He made them coats of skins that came from animals. You know, the garment is defined by a Hebrew word that is the word cottoneth, that he made them coats of skin. That is cottoneth, translated by the word clothed. When he clothed them, it says he made them cottoneth. This word describes kind of a shirt-like garment that is that went from the shoulders to the knees. You know, think about in baseball, the strike zone. You know, what's considered a strike is across the plate between the batter's knees, knees and shoulders. That is the strike zone. That area is the area that is to be clothed. So this was God's definition of clothing. They were naked, and then God clothed them. He made them these long shirt-like garments. And so he covered them from their shoulders to their knees. You know, there are examples in the Bible when the thigh that is showing, that is uncovered, is considered nakedness. In Exodus chapter 28, it says here, talking about the priest and the priestly garments, what they are to wear. It says, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even to the thighs they shall reach. And so the priest or the high priest would ascend to the altar. There would be people gathered around. And so when they ascended to the platform, those in the first few rows could, you know, inadvertently look up under their robes. And so God said to cover your nakedness. You know, make sure that your thigh is covered, that your nakedness is covered. And so again, the thigh is that area from the knee to the hip. Loins under the thighs is nakedness. And so that area from the shoulder to the knees is considered nakedness. In Isaiah chapter 47, in verses 1 through 3, it says, come down and sit thou, or sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy name shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. And so this is a prophecy against the Babylonian daughters, who after the punishment that Babylon would receive, would flee the land, and they would cross over the rivers. When they crossed over the rivers, they would lift up their dresses, and when they lift up their dresses, their thigh was shown. And so Isaiah says their nakedness is shown. And so to make bare the leg, to uncover the thigh, he says, thy nakedness is uncovered. Thy shame shall be seen. You know, look over also in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse 26. It says, and they arrived in the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him, of the man. For oftentimes it had called him, he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands and were driven of the devil in the wilderness. And so he cast the demon out. We know the demon, they go into a herd of swine, and they go down into the sea. And so he cast this demon out. In verse 35 it says, and when they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind, they were afraid. And so here, people in their right mind will cover the shame of their nakedness. Here, before he was naked, he was out of his mind. He was possessed by devils. He was naked now that he has regained his senses. Now those devils have been cast out. He is in the right mind, the right mindsets. And so he is clothed and in his right mind. And so when unclothed, he was not in his right mind. Of course, you know, it was a symptom of not being in his right mind. It's a symptom of being under the influence of those devils is why he was naked, not the other way around. But here, he was clothed afterwards and in full use of his senses. And so we should not dress and we should not uncover our nakedness, the shame of our nakedness. And so how then, as a Christian, ought we to dress? You know, we need to wear clothing that pleases God, clothing that covers our nakedness. Now look over in Hosea chapter 2. We'll remember that Hosea was commanded to go and marry a harlot. It was symbolic, his marriage to this harlot was symbolic of God's relationship with Israel, how that at times Israel was unfaithful, and yet God is always wanting them to come back. And so Hosea's wife, she becomes unfaithful to him. She is basically prostitutes herself. And in verse 9, the Lord says, therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and flax given to cover her nakedness. Again, he gave wool and flax to cover her nakedness, Hosea's wife, to cover or conceal, to be placed out of sight. It is God's will that people wear clothes that covers their nakedness. We need also to understand that our clothing needs to be modest. You know, modest does not always imply, or immodest does not always imply that we're revealing our nakedness. But modest is, in 1 Timothy 2:9, it says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. And so here, modest means decent, orderly. If one is naked in public, one is not modest. And we need to understand that this nakedness, applies in any situation. You know, at the pool, at the gym. Often we see people that are unclothed, that are naked, that are not covering the shame of their nakedness. You can drive by any day down Broadway and pass by the swimming pool and see many examples of those that are not covering their bodies in any way. So they're exposing things that should not be seen. Modest apparel also, we need to understand, it is not something that's too short or too tight or too thin or too long. You know, many of today's fashions fall within these categories. You know, modest apparel is dressing with shamefacedness, with bashfulness, is that word, is what that means. Sobriety, with a soundness of mind, exercising self-control. You know, Weymouth translation, 1 Timothy 2:9 says, and I would have the women dressed becomingly with modesty and self-control. And so it's controlling ourselves. You know, Paul tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. You know, when evil appears, we need to abstain from it, but also we need not to do things in a way that appears what I'm trying to say is, rather than trying to see how close to immodesty you can get without crossing that line, let's see how close to modesty we can remain. You know, we should not dress like the people of the world. You know, they wear clothing that exposes their nakedness or emphasizes their body in a way that is wrong, that is sinful. You know, we are different. We are the children of God. We are to be separate from the world in our morals and in our dress. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul wrote, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so be not conformed to this world, to be made in the same fashion of this world. Do not dress like them. Do not reveal our nakedness like people in the world do. And so the world, and the fashion world especially, is not the guideline for how we should dress, but rather the Word of God is. Another thing about clothing is that in many ways our clothing reveals our character. You know, think about this, whether right or wrong. You know, think about this, Tamar. Remember Tamar? She was judged to be a harlot because she was wearing the clothing of a harlot. Genesis chapter 38 and verse 15, it says, "When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot because she had covered her face." Now, in that day and time, the wearing the veil, interesting, in Corinth, wearing the veil did not imply that one was a harlot. Here, it implied that one was a harlot. So he understood by looking at how she was dressed what kind of person she was. Solomon also spoke of a woman who was clad in the attire of a harlot, Proverbs 7, verse 10. Now, it's interesting, these people had on some clothing. They were not completely nude. But the way or the manner of their clothing indicated something about their character. Their nakedness was showing or being displayed in such a way that they were known to be harlots. You know, have you ever seen those people walking down the street and their pants are hanging way down low? And I don't know how they even keep them on without that belch. You know, we call that maybe the pants on the ground look. Well, you know where that originated is in the U.S. prison. It carries the same idea as the attire of a harlot. And so think about that. The clothing indicates something about that person. You know, clothing our bodies has to do with bearing, also has to do with bearing the infirmities of the weak. Some people make the statement that goes something like this. If someone looks at me, regardless of how I dress and lust, then it's on them. They're the ones with a problem. Now, without a doubt, that person is responsible for how they look at you. But we need to exercise some Christian kindness here. Some people, men especially, have a difficult time when visually stimulated. Does not mean that they are perverts. This just means that they're male. You know, this would be maybe considered a weakness. The same as when one had a weakness concerning the eating of meats. And so the same rule should apply to each of us that applied there. Romans 15, 1. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. If there are those in the assembly or those that we are around, either in the church or outside the church as we go about, that have a weakness of the flesh in this way, we should not dress in a way that is provocative, that would, you know, cause them to sin." Granted, again, responsibility falls on both. And so we are to dress in a way that is different from the world. You know, we clothe and cover the nakedness of our bodies when we are in public. We wear clothing that indicates something about our character. We dress in order to please God, not the latest fashions of the world. And so what is the standard of our clothing? Is it the Paris Fashion Show or the New York Fashion Show? Certainly not the Bible. The Bible is our guidebook for all things, including how we dress. We must follow God's principles about clothing our bodies or covering our nakedness. Remember, God clothed Adam and Eve. Again, clothed them with a garment that covered from the shoulders to the knees. Revelation 3:18 teaches the shame of our nakedness should be covered. We understand that you don't have to be completely nude in order to be considered naked. Now, Revelation 16:15 tells us, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." 2 Corinthians 5:3 says, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. Zephaniah 1 verse 8 says, "And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel or immodest apparel." If you knew that if you knew when the day of the return of the Lord would take place, if you knew he was coming today, what would you wear? You know, if I could send a picture to heaven, would I pose in this garment and then send the picture to Christ? We need to ask ourselves that. Would we want the Lord to see us in this way? And so we need to cover ourselves. We need to hide the shame of our nakedness. You know, Jesus, again, he said in Revelation 3:18, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed." You know, only through Christ can we have the riches that last. You know, gold tried in the fire is pure gold. The impurities have been washed away. This implies the spiritual riches that we can get through Christ. White raiment emphasizes purity. And so only through Christ can we have that true purity. Only through Christ can we have those spiritual riches. In Isaiah 1 and verse 18, the Lord says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Only through Christ can we have our lives made free from sin. Only through Christ can we receive the forgiveness of our sins. And so we buy of him pure gold. We buy of him clothing of pure white. We do this when we obey his commandments, when we obey what he has said that we must do in order to be saved. Believe and repent of our sins. Confess that we believe and be baptized and have our sins washed away. The Lord says, you know, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool." We can have our sins washed away. Today, if you're here and you are not a Christian, you have not had your sins washed away, we urge you to obey Christ, to confess your belief, to repent of your sin, be baptized. And then as one who is baptized, we urge you to live a faithful life. If you're here today and you're not a Christian or you're not a faithful Christian, we urge you to do what you need to do to make it right. If we can help in any way, let us know as we stand and sing.